performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, folks. Welcome back to another episode of Mind Body Peak Performance. I'm your host, Nick Urban, a Czech practitioner, data scientist, and holistic performance health coach. Every week, I bring you essential life skills, strategies, and tools not taught in school to help you build the ultimate high-performance lifestyle. This was the quickest show I've done, and also, despite it coming out now, was the second one I had recorded. This also marks the start of a mini-series on spirituality. I was joined by Valentina Aliso on this episode. She's the founder and director at Val and Fred Factory. Valentina teaches and shares from her toolbox of healing practices to help people connect with their real truth. Valentina speaks 6 languages and has traveled around 30 countries to learn and strengthen her own knowledge, wisdom, and expertise on societies, culture, and how we relate to ourselves. Basically, she's been focused on inner work, but then also taking those findings and translating them to a wider audience. Since a young age, she has been involved in community projects advocating human rights, learning and practicing healing self-development, and teaching mindfulness. She also loves poetry, cinema, photography, history, and cycling. She often writes about the places and people she meets in her solo travels. Later in the episode, we go over an exercise that I learned while becoming a Czech practitioner. It's called the energy push, and it's a way of cultivating your own personal energy and healing life force. I suggest you check out the YouTube video for a visual demonstration. Okay, let's get started. I'm here today with Valentina Aliso. Valentina, what have you done for your health, performance, and overall well-being today?
Okay, so it's already 20 to 4 here where I am in the UK. So I've started my day with a yoga routine that is every day different, depending on how I feel. And usually it's between 20, 40 minutes. So that's the very first thing that I do in the morning. And then I meditate.
And is it the same meditation every time?
No, it's always different because I get easily bored if I do the same thing every day. So I just try to be as creative as I can, even with my own well-being practices.
So tell us a little bit about your backstory, how you got into yoga, meditation, overall wellness.
Yeah, sure. I think that everything goes back from when I was a little girl, really. But let's say that I initiated my yoga journey when I went to university, so around in my 20s, when I studied in Bologna University. And I did my very first yoga class there. And I had so many preconceptions about yoga. I really thought it was too slow for me, and I couldn't sit for more than 3 minutes still. I always had to do something, and I always had to be super active. So it was really, really, really challenging. And that was my very first experience with yoga, and I just fell in love with that.
In your upbringing, touch on that a little bit. We talked offline, and you have an interesting backstory.
Yeah, what do you want to know about it?
I guess what's shaped you into where you are today in the forces at work, if you will?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so again, since I was a little girl, I always had very vivid dreams. I've always had premonitions, and I've always had feelings. And I would say to my mom that I can see beyond people's skin. Now, I would say that, you know, when I was 7-8 years old. So I'm not sure I really understood what I meant when I'd say that, but I know that that's what I'd say to my mom. Like, I can see beyond people's skin. And I think that that was very important for me to shape me into the person that I am today, because that's exactly what I do with my job as well. I focus on what I see beyond people when I talk to them, rather than just focusing on the things that they present to me. So that's a very important indicator for me. And yeah.
When you say you can see beyond their skin, what does that mean?
So energy is light, sound, and vibration. It's a frequency, right? So I can see that frequency. I can basically feel that light, that sound within that frequency. So let's say I'm talking to someone that is, you know, so someone I don't know. I meet someone in the street and I just start to have a conversation. I would usually just naturally, without even noticing, I wouldn't necessarily like connect with the exact words that the person would say, but I would connect with the frequency that they emanate when they speak. And that means, you know, how do they speak? You know, what the gesture, the tone of the voice. And I would usually have a feeling. And when I was a little girl, I didn't know how to read those feelings. So I would be overwhelmed. And, you know, in our society, we are not really invited to listen to our guts or listen to our emotions, to listen to our feelings. So it was hard growing up in, you know, especially in Italy, where, you know, it's conservative and Catholic country. So that was hard.
It sounds like it's less of seeing light or something visual, but it's more of a stronger connection to your intuition and a hunch of just knowing things that other people don't know.
Maybe, yes, maybe. But very often I would also have a vision, so like a specific image in my brain. So it's like a window opens up in my brain and I have an image.
At the time, are you able to understand what that image means, or do you just wait for the significance of it to come to you?
So again, when I was a little girl, it was just so confusing because I would just automatically try to give a meaning. So I would just like automatically try to understand it. And then when I became a teenager, I just couldn't do that anymore. So I just stopped all my intuition, all my dreams. I just said, I don't want this anymore. I don't want anything of that because I can't have a, you know, I just can't. It's too overwhelming. And then after my journey of self-discovery, that I'm still on it, of course, I just tried to make a difference. So like when I'm working, I use specific tool. But if I'm not working, I just shut. Like, I'm not interested. And I'm not supposed to see. I'm not supposed to know. So if I just have a random conversation with someone on the street and I start to have a feeling or an image, I usually try to let it go rather than take it in, because it's not my journey.
Sounds overwhelming to be able to process all that extra information that most of us walk around oblivious to.
Yeah, and that's why to me, my yoga practice in the morning is like so important. Like that embodiment, that process of embodiment is essential for me. I need to be in my body. I need to be in my body. And that's why I also teach mindfulness. And I also teach, you know, people how to do body scan. And I do mind-body practice because for me, being in the body is the way, you know, to just remain grounded into the earth.
What are some of the other methods you use to ground yourself and improve your wellness? I saw on your website that you also do breath work and Qigong. What else?
Yes. Breath work is, I would say, the most important one because it's the bridge between our soul and our body, the breath. So I really love that. And then, yes, Qigong, it's an amazing practice that reconnects with your natural rhythm, so the rhythm of nature. And I also do simple stretching, yoga flow. Again, one of the things that I love at the moment is the body scan with mindfulness. So these are all tools, specific tools that I use in my job. And depending who I'm working with, I apply that tool. So it's always very interactive and very creative.
Talk to me about how you work with clients. When someone comes to you, I'm assuming that they do not know. They need a guide to reconnect with their energy. And after they find you and start working with you, what do they get out of it?
So every program that I initiate with my client is tailor-made to their needs, to who they are. So that is really, really important, because what they get at the end is actually what they discover at the beginning. It's discovering what someone really needs for the process of self-discovery that will make a huge difference in the healing work that I do. So I provide a space. I provide a space, I facilitate, I teach multiple different ways, but in the end, that person will have a map. So we'll have a map to just really direct their life for, you know, more purpose-driven changes that they want to make or they don't want to make. So this is the very most important thing that they get. But also a lot of people, you know, that what they say at the end is, you know, I feel lighter, I feel clearer. And that for me is so important, because when you feel lighter, it means that you guide your rational process from a perspective of cleared space. So you're not obscured anymore with, you know, trauma or fear. So fear does not come in the way. You can take decision based on what you really want.
And just from the word alone, the quality of being light implies that you would move through life with greater ease, more efficiency. And so it sounds like something that would translate over into other walks of life as well.
Absolutely. And to me, this is so important. Like, I really want to simplify my work with everyone that I work with. To me, I do not make promises of like, oh, you're going to achieve this incredible, amazing thing. Because as you say, the fact that you feel lighter at the end, it's huge. It can be life-changing, you know. One of the amazing things about mindfulness is that the fact, just the simple fact of being present in the present moment can be revolutionary for some people. So again, I really want to simplify healing work. You know, any process of self-discovery for me needs to be simplified, needs to speak a language that everyone can use into daily life.
I agree. It's one of those areas that can be very esoteric and convoluted, hard to understand. And there are plenty of ways and practitioners out there like yourself who are making it a little more easy to understand and digest. What about your process of soul mapping? How does that relate to finding purpose and overall greater energy and a more fulfilling life?
Okay, great. So when you go on a trip, the first thing that you might need is your map. And so the map is what provides you, you know, guideline on how to move next. So that's exactly what I do with my soul map process. So now imagine as your soul would have a spider web. So imagine yourself like a spider web. Okay, you are in the middle, the physical you, you're in the middle, and then everything else is that web. Okay, so that's the soul. The soul has a map. The soul has a blueprint.
The soul is the web?
Yes. So the soul is present in the web. The web is the experience and multiple infinite experiences that you can have. And the soul is present in that web. So when we are able to see that web, to visualize that web, which means all the meaningful experiences that we have and will have, then we are capable, again, to make decisions that are based on truth information. So basically, it's reconnecting with your truth, so with your real experiences.
Is that the same as connecting with your authentic self?
I would ask you, what do we mean by authentic self? But basically, it's connecting with your, you know, there's this book I'm reading, which is, to me, is amazing. It's called The Soul's Code by James Hillman. And he talks about the acorn theory, okay? The acorn is that essence, is that truth. It's what the philosophers at the time of Plato would call the daimon. I invite people to connect with that acorn so that they can see their life experiences from a clearer perspective, and then they can make their own decisions.
Do people connect to their soul and make worse decisions?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes, it can happen, yeah.
Is that a short-term worst decision, or is that a always wrong kind of decision?
No, I think that when you initiate the process of self-discovery, like, you start to gain something that it's called, you know, your intuition. I mean, you always have an intuition, but you start to listen a bit more to your intuition, okay, to your gut. So, of course, you would, you know, you might take wrong decisions in your life. It's not like, you know, you've healed forever. Absolutely not. But you gain tools that will help you see better when you take decisions. So let's say you take a wrong decision, then you will be able to see the reasons why, you know, the reasons why you needed to go through that process. And also, I really just want to say that there is no right or wrong. This is a duality that, you know, that we created. I like to say that our soul only wants to expand. So our life, we just want to expand all the time. And that might be through, you know, painful experiences or great experiences.
The whole concept of there's successes and learning lessons.
Yeah, and I like that. You know, it's authentic.
Are there any specific questions or practices my audience can use to connect with their soul better and make decisions that are in alignment?
Yes, there are many. One thing that I like to invite people to do at the beginning of the journey is start to be a bit more in tune with your environment. And when I say that, I mean, you know, the things that we might call coincidences, or, you know, you think about someone and straight away that person is texting you or is calling you, or you talk about something and then you go to the cafe and two strangers are talking about that same thing. So these coincidences are actually signs of how you can be more in tune with your environment. So start by turning on the curiosity, and there is no need to give meaning to everything at all, but we can be curious. So that's the first thing that I would say.
A quick note on that. I was skeptical of that concept, and I read a book called Mind to Matter, and the author explains that these coincidences are actually synchronicities and that they happen all the time and we're just not aware of them. And so in my evening journal, I would write down every synchronous event that I experienced. And slowly but surely, I realized how many were happening to me on a daily basis.
Exactly. Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, look, all that we are talking about is within the law of quantum physics. So, you know, any person that is a bit more skeptical or wants to have some proven foundation on everything that we're talking about, the soul, you know, you can just grab a book about quantum physics and there's plenty of amazing information there.
So let's take a little pause there and go over, what does quantum physics mean to you?
Okay, that is a very interesting question. Yeah, if I would just say what it means to me, is that I work within the quantum field. So I work within that time where time and space do not exist. So it's a pause. It's a pause. Let's say we go on a session, okay? So we would pause. We would pause that time and space, and we would have a look into your life experiences within that quantum field. And the quantum field is the space around us, is everything that is available to you at that exact time.
My understanding is the quantum is just the opposite of matter. There's matter and then there's the quantum, there's energy, and the quantum encompasses everything outside of matter.
Absolutely. And that, you know, and that it confirms exactly what we're talking about here, right? So when we are able to tap into the invisible, which is the non-matter, the quantum, then we are able to see things from a different perspective. Just because we cannot see it with our physical eyes doesn't mean it's not there.
That also explains things like hunches, gut feelings. When you walk into a room and you feel a strong emotional charge, yet no one's said or looked a certain way. You mentioned energy in the very beginning and how you can see and feel it better than your average person. And I know it's one of those things that you said you were born with, but for people like me who are interested in that and want to develop that ability, are there any tips or tricks or things that you've learned along the way that could help that process?
Yes, absolutely. There is that thing that is called the aura. And so the aura is that invisible energy field that is around everything, around the person, around the leaf, around the glass, around everything. So that there are a lot of different techniques that you can use to practice to see that aura. But one of the very simple things that I learned through my practices is feeling energy between your palms and how you can maybe not see, but start feeling the frequency that exists between two objects, two hands in this case. So all you have to do is just bring your hands together without touching and then really focusing on creating a space that is between your hands. Great. I like that you try. Okay. And then just bring your hands bit further away and then closer. Yes, and you can close your eyes. And I'm just inviting you to just really focus on the space between your palms. And keep moving your hands, expanding, contracting. Expanding, contracting. Expand. Now, can you feel something?
Yeah, what kind of speed? Is this the right speed? Is it slower, faster?
It's really whatever you feel. You can go fast, you can go slow. You just focus on that space that exists between your palms and try to imagine as if you hold a ball between your palms. Okay, try to visualize a ball. Can you feel some tingling sensation in your hands?
Slightly.
Great. That is energy. And you can keep focusing and you can play with that and you would be amazed on the things that you might see or explore.
Is that related to either Tai Chi or Qigong, any of those slow, subtle energy movement practices?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I learned that through my master course. It's a yoga Korean Qigong practice. Yeah, definitely. Qigong is amazing. Qigong really, as I said, it tunes you into the rhythm of nature, of the earth. And there are loads and loads of different simple movement that you can learn, simple sequences that you can learn to make you feel the energy that travels within. Which basically is particles. You know, when we say energy, what do we really mean? You know, is again, it's that force that moves you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, what are some of the worst recommendations you hear either about energy work or spirituality in general?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think there are so many misconceptions about spiritual world. And that is what would make someone that is a bit more skeptical go away. And I completely get it. I completely understand. You know, my best friends are my fact check all the time. Every time I go to them and I say, oh, I've learned this amazing new tool, they're like, yeah, sure. Like, really tell me about it, you know? And so I really have to use the language that they relate to. Anyway, so one thing that I'd like to challenge is what we go online and when we read about, you know, to find your true self, you need to go within, or to really understand who you really are, you need to go within. You know, that go within theme that often we find online or in books. You know, to me, it's really interesting. It's like, what do we really mean? What do we really mean going within? Okay. And go within would, you know, just imply that you would have to go back to your past experiences, retrieve memories, forgotten memories, maybe, you know, that you've had. And if you're not someone that has necessarily spiritual tools, you know, you would just go back into memories that are not any more valid, because our brain, you know, deletes stuff all the time, and to protect us, you know, is comes back to the Paleolithic time. So, so the mind is there to protect us from threat. So you would just bring, you would go within a journey that is not factual, that it is not real, I'm afraid. So, and also, you would not focus on the present moment, but you would focus on the moment that is not there anymore. So again, in this book that I'm reading, The Soul's Code, there is this beautiful metaphor that says that to find our true self, all we need to imagine is, you know, that melted butter in a croissant, or that air that makes the bread rise. So it's the how that really gives us clue and understanding of who we are. So Mozart was famous because, not because he was playing piano, but because of how he was playing piano. You know, all those geniuses in history, they were not famous because of that simple thing that I would do, but because of the how. So if we start to be curious, if we become curious about how we really expose ourselves into our daily life, then we can see who we really are, you know, the way we speak, the way we relate to each other, the way we eat, the way we dress. You know, these are incredibly interesting things that the spiritual world would sometimes dismiss because it would see as superficial. But I like the superficial. The superficial is interesting. The superficial is full of amazing, interesting facts and information.
And personal expression.
Exactly. It's like art. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there's so many amazing things you can notice about a painting or, you know, a work of art. So it's just, yeah, go on a gallery tour and, you know, and enjoy the tour.
It's nice to know that there's still value in the superficial.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that we should, you know, value that superficial cultural element. You know, sometimes we are too scared in giving dignity to personality and individualism because we want to promote that idea that we are one and we are all the same, but we're not. From a soul perspective, of course we are one. From an energetic quantum physics perspective, of course we are. But we are human for a reason. You know, we are in this life for a reason. And it's to show that individuality, it's to show that personality with pride, you know?
And there's tremendous individuality between people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easy to average it out and pretend like everyone's the same. If you just take the highs, bring them down, bring the lows up to the highs, and all of a sudden we lose the fact that from one human to the next can be tremendous difference.
Absolutely. And also I noticed that, you know, a lot of the times, sometimes people use that excuse of not to go into a discussion, a healthy discussion, that, you know, they would use an excuse of like, oh, but, you know, that doesn't really matter because in the end, everything is just an experience and, you know, we are one and, you know, we love each other. So we should use love. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. You know, this is what I use, you know, in my job and in my life. But discussions can be extremely interesting. You know, I'm scared that people that, you know, we would dismiss discussion just because of the fear of being confronted with one another. But being confronted with one another doesn't mean necessarily that I am going to lose my viewpoint.
If anything, it makes it stronger.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. This question is one that I ask all my guests. Imagine that there's a worldwide burning of the books and all knowledge on Earth is gone. You get to keep three of your favorite resources, be it books, podcasts, videos, whatever you want. What would the three choices be?
I would say my bike, because I love cycling and it makes me feel free when I cycle. I would say, again, this book, which is really so inspiring for me, and it's The Soul's Code by James Hillman, and I love the way he presents, again, the spiritual theories, because he talks from a psychological perspective, and he's very challenging. So that's the second thing. And then I would say a film which really inspired my life before, and it's called The Colors of the Pomegranate, and it's made by an Armenian film director. It's incredibly beautiful, and to me it just encompasses the spirit of life, and it's unique. So I just encourage everyone just to go online now and have a look. The Color of the Pomegranate, it's an incredible, beautifully shot movie.
Well, Valentina, where can those that are interested connect with you?
Yeah, totally. So the easiest way is just to go on our website, thevalandfredfactory.com, and you can just connect through that, or you can go onto our Instagram account where we always post, interesting stuff about food. I mean, that's something we haven't spoken about today, but the Val and Fred Factory is about food, good food, and well-being. So, I'm in charge of the, healing, well-being part, and my business partner is in charge of learning how to eat good food. So we post a lot of great stuff on Instagram and also Twitter and Facebook, my personal account.
And are the handles for the social media platforms, are those all the same?
It's always the same. So the Val and Fred Factory, always the same.
Okay. And the links will, as always, be in the show notes. But Valentina, it's been great chatting with you today. Thanks for your time. And I'm looking forward to cultivating my awareness of energy and testing out some of those tips you gave us.
That's amazing. Yes, I really enjoyed it as well. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.